Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Cheryl Minima is our guest this morning. She's written a wonderful picture book for kids called Johnny's Pheasant, and she joins us this morning on the phone. Hey, Cheryl, good morning, and thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Folks may be familiar with another children's book that you wrote called Hungry Johnny. And earlier this week on Minnesota Native News, they had done an interview with you about this new book. And you talked a little bit about your brother, Johnny, and how he's inspired a couple of books. What is it about your brother that makes you picture kind of a mischievous little kid when you think about him?
Yeah, I have a lot of memories growing up with Grandma, and Johnny and I were pretty close. And so my stories start from memories that I have, and especially little fun memories and humorous stories. So each book has stemmed off of a memory.
What a great place to start, and what a wonderful way to keep your brother in your heart. You actually are, among other things, you're kind of a Renaissance woman, but you have identified in terms of writing primarily as a poet, and you've said that being a poet is a wonderful training and discipline for writing children's books. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yes, and in the process of writing poetry, it's so detail-oriented, and each word counts. It's very specific layout. And so with the rhythm and the flow and the idea, it's like writing a little mini story within a poem. And it takes so many different revisions to just get that complete picture of the concept or the story that I want to tell in a poem. And so moving over into writing for children, the amount of space feels similar, the limited amount of space, and you have such a short period of time within these lines that you have to create an entire story. And so the discipline of the time that it takes to tell the story and then reworking it and then just condensing it, and that whole process, it feels familiar going into writing for children.
Well, it might also explain why you are so good at it. So that's obviously that's a skill that has really served you well. Another thing that you do, that you've also talked about how it has been a useful skill to translate the way you were taught doing beadwork. You do a lot of traditional beadwork, and you were taught, you talked about how at the beginning you just watched, you know, as we all did who were lucky enough to have family members that were clever and that were, we talked about knitting a little earlier this morning, family members that were knitting or doing embroidery or doing, in this instance, beadwork or other things with their hands. And as kids, we sit and we watch that. And then when we're ready to start, talk a little bit about how you were taught by your female relatives to do beadwork and how those skills also have translated over to your work as an author.
Yeah, I grew up in a very traditional family with my grandmother, my mother, and my sisters. And so we always had crafts out of some sort. My grandma, she did seasonal crafts. She did quilting, birch bark work, basswood bake making. She did bulrush mats, and then she did some beadwork. And growing up, she was in her later years. Like my childhood, she was already in her later years. So she didn't do very much beadwork, but she did some. And so with the beadwork, it was mostly my mom and my sisters. So watching them work on regalia for outfits, and they always had projects out, either belts and barrettes and leggings. And so as I watched them, that's where a lot of the learning took place. So it was never really just being sat down and saying, this is how you do it, and these are the techniques, and so it's more about sitting and visiting and watching them, and then slowly trying little projects. And growing up on the Mille Lacs Reservation, you know, I had that at home, but then also went to school. I went to Onania Public School, and then they also had beading there throughout elementary school. And then as I got older and I started beading more for regalia mostly, then I went into Neosho High School, where there was much more elaborate program for Ojibwe language and culture. And so it was like both worlds, my school world and home world, of doing a lot of beadwork projects. And I went from the bandolier, I went from the regalia making into bandolier base making, and which was a huge step up and a lot more intense beading. And a lot of the art grants that I do now, it's about going back and teaching other people how to do beadwork in a more personal setting rather than doing classes. I've done numerous beadwork classes, but then kind of taking a break from that and doing like a personal setting where we meet at home and we have tea and we visit, and then I teach beadwork or moccasin making in a more natural setting is how I learned.
You know, as a girl growing up, there were our moms had two different ways of teaching us needlework, handwork, knitting, whatever the different skill might be. There were the moms that were, that's not perfect, rip it out and start all over again, that were kind of really tough about it. And then my mom was like, oh, you having a problem? Well, come on over here. Oh, look, this is easy to fix. And then boo, 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 you know, she'd fix it. And it was like, oh, wow, that was, you know. And so I guess I still practice a lot. I still do a lot of these things because nobody ever got like scary and mean with me about it. Yeah. Were your teachers, was your mom, your grandma, your sisters? Well, sisters, of course, they're a different story always, but how did they teach you? Were they kind?
Yes, very kind, calm. And there was a lot of humor. They were never hard, in the process of learning how. It was mostly about, you figure it out. And with beading, it's all about knots, threaded, you know, the thread and all the knots, and getting really frustrated. And my grandma used to always tell me that when you start sewing and you start getting into, running into a lot of problems, like your needle is breaking, your thread is knotting up, and, you know, just take a break and step back.
Yes.
And then come back to it. Because your energy, she talked about how my mom talked about how their energy is going into your work. And so when you're frustrated and if it's not going well, just step away for a little while. But in that process, there was a lot of humor too. You know, it wasn't laughing like it made you feel bad. It was just kind of funny. But I was allowed to just explore and further my beadwork the way that I wanted to. And if I didn't like it, you know, I would take it apart and do it again. But that was through the process of watching my mom and my sisters not be happy with something they were working on, and they just take it apart and start over.
And so you can get an idea from that few mistakes are so horrible that they can't just be, you know, you can't just say, all right, scrap it, turn around, begin again, which is a great lesson.
Yeah, and then another thing is that the further along you get and the more skills you get, then you may come up with, you know, a really beautiful piece. And there's, I was also taught there's no such thing as perfection.
Right.
And so even sometimes if we feel like something is, like, really beautiful and almost perfect, we go ahead and put a mistake in there. And so sometimes we'll add a bead that's not the same color as it should be in the pattern. So it's like deliberately putting a mistake in there.
So it's just a little reminder every time you look at it that, yeah, It's a wonderful gift to have those things from your family, because you sit down to make something, maybe for someone else, or something pretty, or to teach a skill, and you can just feel all those women standing behind you going back. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, going back to Johnny's Pheasant and that wonderful story, is you've also talked about the excitement of Native kids to see a kid who looks like them in the story, and maybe a kid who has a family situation similar to their own in a story. What does it mean to a child to see themselves reflected back in books?
I think that was, one of my main points of going back and sharing my stories, is to be able to provide the opportunity for Native children to see themselves in children's literature. And it's just going back from my own childhood and, my own experience of going to the library at school and looking at all the books. And, I would get into, the Little House on the Prairie stories. But then again, I always see how Native people were portrayed in these stories. And it was sad, and it was embarrassing sometimes. And so there's a strong passion to help bring more books to children today, where it's very contemporary and natural. And yet there's stories that every child can identify with, so the themes of the story. And then also in that is interlaced some traditional values that I learned, especially being patient and growing up with grandma and having a close relationship with grandma and my brother, and just like our family setting and how close we were and how much humor we had in learning and growing up. And so I thought that was one of the main reasons of sharing my story, is to also put up the books into other children's hands to see themselves and to feel proud of who they are.
Cheryl, it is wonderful talking with you. I hope that there is a... Is there another Johnny story lurking in the back of your mind?
Yes, there's actually a couple more that are in draft form.
Fantastic. Well, that is wonderful news. And Cheryl, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Yes, thank you. Great.
Cheryl Minima is the author of a book called Johnny's Pheasant. It's her newest children's book. There's also a book she's written that also featured her brother Johnny, called Hungry Johnny. And Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.